Fear not the pain. Let its weight fall back into the earth. For heavy are the mountains, heavy are the seas.
1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah flees to Horeb. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom brush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, strengthened by that food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord Almighty God. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
I'm sitting down here in a pew because I want to make clear that the comments I make today are really about all of us. They're not about Roger sitting up on the steps by the altar having some privileged information about things. But that when it comes to prayer, it's about all of us. It's about how do we engage in dialogue with this God. And when you come in and sit in a pew like this, what are you doing on a Sunday morning? You know, when I was ordained a priest ages ago, 1987, there is one question that's asked of all those being ordained priests, is, you know, will you persevere in prayer, both private and public? And then it uses all sorts of, you know, fancy language, you know, grace and things that we're used to hearing. And it occurred to me that if I were to revise that question, what I would have the bishop ask those being ordained is, you know, will you not just persevere in prayer, but will you persevere in engaging God with all of your emotions? Will you come to God and demand things? Will you come to God and express your pain and your sorrow? Will you come to God and say, "What the heck are you doing?" You know, we don't use that kind of language because we're polite Episcopalians, right? But this is really the issue when it comes to prayer. Will we bring all who we are? Now, when I went off to seminary, long before I was ordained, my bishop, Otis Charles, the Bishop of Utah, said to me, you know, Roger, when you get to seminary, there's only one thing you have to do. And I thought, oh, I wonder what's coming. You have to develop a life of prayer. Okay, sounds right. And then he said to me, I want you to go to the Jesuit school and ask them for a spiritual director. Well, what the heck is a spiritual director? Well, this is someone who is a companion for you to meet with once a month or every other week, whatever it turns out to be, with whom you can share what you think is going on in your relationship with God. And my bishop knew what he was doing, and this was a great first step for me to expand my awareness of the importance of prayer. But you know, honestly, for a long time in my prayer, I was just way too polite with God. I really didn't understand that this was about bringing everything. And that prayer is absolutely key. Absolutely key to sustaining this journey. Not just as a priest, but for all of you who are sitting in pews like this, prayer is key, especially when things get rough. The story today from 1 Kings about Elijah is paradigmatic for all of us. What's the story? Well, the story basically is this. Elijah has just won this big battle with the prophets of Baal. 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And it's Elijah who wins the battle. But then what happens? Ahab and Jezebel, the queen, are not pleased. And so they seek to do him in, and he flees. And quite rightly, he flees and says, you know, what the heck is going on? I've just won this great battle, God. You know, you need to protect me. Well, I think what is key is that when he flees, what we find out is that he is, guess what, whining. You know, that's what you do when things don't go right. Elijah himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. A little bit later, God comes to him and says, what are you doing here, Elijah? He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, wah, wah, wah. And they are seeking my life to take it away. Elijah is willing to bring his frustration to God. He feels like he's been forsaken by God. I took on 450 prophets of Baal and won. And look what I get for it. If he doesn't bring this to God, nothing's going to happen. I don't think we can assume that God is just going to come in and do whatever God wants to do anytime. Elijah expresses his frustration, and then what happens? God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then, as you probably remember, now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in that. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in that. And after the fire, guess what? Sheer silence or crushed silence. You know what Elijah discovers is that in the silence of prayer comes an encounter, and the encounter is with a God who will keep this story going. And where does the story end? At least in what we've read today. God says to Elijah, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus." Well, if we went a little bit further, what does God say? God says, "Go, and you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel." Get back in the fray, Elijah. I'm not done with you yet. Prayer is all about survival. And we see this not just in the life of Elijah. We see it in the life of Abraham. Abraham got God to change God's mind about things God wanted to do. Moses, you know, God was going to get rid of these people that he had delivered from slavery, but now they'd build a golden calf, and Moses said, "Whoa, whoa, time out. If you destroy them all, you know what the Egyptians are going to say from whom you delivered them? Well, see, that God only delivered them to kill them. That God's no good." If you read the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is constantly bringing his pain and frustration to God. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, my God, you know, if you can take this cup away from me, do. You know, the road to survival on this journey is prayer. And most of us, myself included, have been raised to not be nearly demanding enough in our prayer life. Or, maybe even more importantly, we've not been raised to bring where we are. We think it is a sign of failure if we come and complain and whine like Elijah. That I think of the way we've been raised is to assume that sort of God already knows all this stuff, so why would we even tell God? Well, this is not the relationship of God with the people in the Bible. It is a dialogical relationship. It's an ongoing conversation. And I think what we have to take seriously is what we bring to God matters. If Elijah hadn't gone out into the middle of nowhere and been in such pain, I don't think we can assume that God would have just come and said, "Okay, next step." You and I are living in times where it's easy to get frustrated, isn't it? We, for example, may be involved in one of the many resistance movements right now to things being done in this country. We may be marching in downtown Cincinnati. We may be involved in advocacy for immigrants. We may be involved in other movements that are trying to say, "Hey, you know, what the current administration is doing, and maybe many before that, is not what God wants us to be doing." And so we stand up and we fight the good fight. And of course, what we're all wired to think is, if I just fight the good fight, you know, God will make it all come out sooner. But then we find out it's often later. What we need to be able to do when things don't go the way we want them to go, is to go to God and say, hey, come on. Come on, give me strength to keep at this. Restore my faith in you. Bring whatever we need to bring. And the pattern in the biblical story, if this is the story that really shapes how we understand this God of ours, is that it really is an ongoing conversation with God. And out of that ongoing conversation, God is faithful. It doesn't mean we know in advance what God is going to do. It doesn't mean that just because we ask for something, God's going to do it exactly the way we want God to do it. But you know, Jesus says, ask and it shall be given to you. And remember in Matthew when he, you know, says to disciples, go and pray in secret, for your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Go and tell God your most intimate longings and desires and frustrations. You know, why in secret? Because sometimes when it's public, we may be trying to impress somebody, or we may be not willing to say what's really on our heart in public. I see this on Sunday morning. We invite people to offer their own prayers all the time, and, you know, rarely does anybody get down and dirty, right? It's happened a few times where someone has blurted out, God! In fact, there's a guy sitting right here years ago who said, God, do something for my wife. She's been suffering from this chronic illness forever. And the whole congregation was in shock. That is so not Episcopal prayer. Well, maybe we can make Episcopal prayer a little more direct, a little more raw. You know, I think of prayer as, and Elijah today, really the best sort of analogy to me is, are little kids who whine for something. You know, things don't go their way. They weren't going the way Elijah wanted them to go. And Elijah, I say, did a little whining. Kids do a little whining. And kids who whine expect their parents to respond. Sometimes they don't. But what kids have learned is, man, if I just keep whining and whining and whining, eventually mom, dad, okay, whatever. We don't like to think of our relationship with God that way, but, you know, maybe it matters. The biblical story would suggest it matters. The biblical story would suggest that when we come to God with our deepest longings, you know, God probably wants what we want too. But, of course, the reality in life is that sometimes not even God can just say, okay, presto, it's all going to be better. We all want the slaughtering in Gaza to end, right? We all want the slaughtering in Ukraine to end. We all want the dying that goes on in any number of places in this world to end. But God can't just snap God's fingers and make it happen. But let's not underestimate the power of prayer to shift things. We just don't know. This is why it's all, you know, it requires faith that it matters that I bring my pain. We have a wonderful psalm today as we close. As the deer longs for the water brooks, so longs my soul for you, O God. My soul is athirst for God, athirst for the living God. My tears have been my food day and night, while all day long they say to me, where now is your God? Here is someone who's praying out of the depths of their soul. This is not a polite prayer. I pour out my soul when I think on these things, how I went with the multitude and led them into the house of God. Why are you so full of heaviness, O my soul? You know, this is someone having a conversation with God and with themselves. When you get discouraged, when you begin to wonder how you're going to survive and stay at it, whatever you're staying at, whether it's being part of what God is doing in our society, or maybe it is How am I going to continue to care for this loved one of mine who is so sick and so needs me, but I am exhausted. I have watched people here care for people over the course of many years, and I'm sure they've had times just had to say, God, I love my wife, I love my dad, I love my child. I don't know if I can go on. Can we bring that to God? And can we trust that maybe it will not be in some big flashy Cecil B. DeMille earthquake, fire, whatever, but there will be a moment in the sheer silence when we know God is with us and where God gives us another burst of life-giving energy, spirit energy, to keep at it.
An Echo from the Well is a podcast of St. Timothy's Episcopal Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. If you would like to learn more, visit sttimothys.com.
The moon.